I'm JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy. Friends of Matt Sundin is what we're calling ourselves now. We bring in our number one super fan who listens all the time. It's Nick Kyprios of Real Kipper and Born. What's up, buddy? How did you feel listening to the Matt Sundin interview? Was it cool to hear that guy on the radio on a big show?
You got him off the golf course somewhere in Spain? Really?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, more times than you guys got him off the golf course in Spain, I'll say that.
Oh, man, he's a hard guy to find. Good.
Dude, international man of mystery. This is part of the thing I even wanted to talk to him about. I'm like, is he the most famous person in this city that we know the least about?
Yeah, I think he liked it that way. Like, he appreciated Toronto. He appreciated the passion, but he did like his privacy. And, you know, I think him and Austin are kind of the same because they, once the season's over, they get out of Dodge. You know, the scrutiny that these guys face over the course of 8 or 9 months, they feel it. There's no question. And they're pros about it and they understand it. But once that kind of off season comes, they like to find their space.
Yeah. Matthews, at least, you know, you'd see him with Bieber. He does his, hey, I'm stunting with the Biebs right now. I'm showing up red carpet things. It's Matt Sundin, I don't know what he would have done. Like, I can't think of one memory of Matt Sundin being at an event or anything like that. I don't know if you actually heard the interview, but he mentioned that he wouldn't do your show because of things you said to him when he's with the Nordiques. How many words that you used on Matt Sundin when he was with the Nordiques can you repeat on air right now? Can you do three?
Oh, my God.
Like his name and then no more? Hey, Matt's end of list of words that are repeatable for radio?
It wasn't that big of a deal. He did have somewhat of an acne issue, which I noted on the ice on a couple of occasions. I think I called him pepperoni face on a few occasions. I was so mean.
Yeah, he didn't forget it. He didn't forget it.
Horrible. I'm a dad, for goodness sakes. You're not supposed to talk mean to people.
I don't know. Sometimes
that's how you get do. The parenting line needs to be do as I say, not as I do.
Yes.
That's all you got to tell them.
Be better than me. That's what I tell them. Be better than me.
Oh, I absolutely love it. Anyways, it was great to speak with him today. Yes, international man of mystery. Who knows where he was? Although, he's still not you. Like, let's not forget that you're still the number one celeb. You know, you rub elbows. You love the limelight. You're out there playing golf with Nadal. You know, you're out there rubbing shoulders with the big celebrities. He's not... He probably feels a little intimidated by you, you know, and the circles you run with.
No, he's with the King of Sweden. That's way out of my league. Mats is right up there, in all honesty. Been over to Sweden. I did an interview for Sportsnet. We went over to Sweden. We visited him on the Baltic Sea. He's right up there with the legends, Bjorn Borg, and, you know, all the rest of them, Henrik Lundqvist. All of them, and it's well deserved. He's one of our best in history here in Toronto.
We're talking to Nick Kyprios, who is our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence.
Did you recover? You're good.
I'm
did you get
struggling.
Any sleep, or did you go
no,
wave
no
the flag
sleep.
On Yonge Street?
I was thinking about it, but yeah, we gotta touch on that gold medal game a bit. I don't even know where to start other than Captain Clutch once again, that defining, you know, Olympic moment for us for sure. Did you get a chance to watch it? Are you going to recycle that today during the day? How are you feeling about it? I'm just like at a loss for articulate pronunciation of words today.
Well, first of all, pride has been such a challenge the last little while in our country. You don't pass on the opportunity of feeling it last night. So yeah, like millions of Canadians, I watched it and it was fantastic. It's been a rivalry that the women have fought hard for the last 20 years to make one of our best. And it was a fun game to watch, as they all are, between Canada and the U.S. And there's always been that fine line, and we saw it again last night. The Americans got off to a horrible start. I think none of their stars, like Hillary Knight and Kessel and Carpenter, they didn't show up until they were down 3-0, but they fought back hard. They made a game of it, and it was an exciting finish. But our stars were better than their stars, led by Poulin, who's going to go down in history as one of the clutch goal scorers in the Olympics, and well deserved. Our stars were better than their stars. That's the end of the story.
Yeah, I brought this up earlier on the show, but Kipper, we talk about the most clutch players ever. I said that now it's Poulin and Gretzky. Gretzky has 53 points in Stanley Cup Finals in 31 games, and Poulin has three game-winning goals and four goals in four gold medal games. Like, is there anybody else you can even put in that category of clutch in hockey history?
Probably not. Nothing off the top of my head. And, you know, we can talk all we want about the lack of competitiveness around the Canadians and the Americans, but that's against the very best, that she's doing that again in gold medal situations. Like, that's the talent versus real talent. That's not, you know, a Switzerland 10-1 kind of padded stat. That's real deal. That's clutch when the stage is on and you're asked to perform. Again, two goals last night. You know, in all honesty, I like their hit at the end of the game as much as the goals. Now, people are going to sit there and go, oh, you know what, it was knee on knee, whatever. All she showed me is how Canadian she was by basically sending the message, you want to come through the middle of the ice, not on my watch, not when we're protecting a gold medal. And I loved every part of her game, including the hit.
Yes, agree. Hear, hear. They won, so who cares? Hit more. You know, like more hitting.
Oh, fight more next hitting. Time.
Yeah, fight. Do whatever. I don't care. Yeah, make somebody bleed. I don't care. It was so great. I loved it. I love everything about Poulin's game. I think you said it perfectly. So, we all know Mitch Marner's been on this incredible heater. I wonder if we're losing a little bit of what Bunting's doing right now, because over that same stretch where Marner leads the NHL in points since he's been back, Bunting leads the league in even strength scoring. Do you see something different from him, or is this just added effect to the Mitch Marner playing this way halo effect?
Well, it's certainly special that he's able to play with some of the best players in the world, and he is taking full advantage of it. And he's a smart guy. To be in the right place at the right time and goal scoring, as Poulin showed us last night, it's about a lot of things, but more than that, more than anything, it's the ability to predict and be in the right place at the right time and have a feel for the game. And he's got impeccable timing as well, Bunting. And it shouldn't be lost, but, you know, at the end of the day, we are talking about a team that, regardless of what any of these guys do during the regular season, everybody's going to really judge them from the first moment to puck drops in the first round. So Bunting has done everything and more that's been asked of him to step in and hold that position on a front line up until this point. It has been great. Is there going to be a drop-off because he's never done it before? The ask to be consistent, and again, for Bunting to get it done against a very, very good Pittsburgh Penguin team tonight is another ask. He's never done it before, but you're at the mercy of Bunting, Kasha, Kampf, and these guys have done a great job so far, but they don't have the reputation for doing it over long stretches. And like Poulin, they're going to be asked at certain points in big games to deliver when they have to. And let's hope they can continue building a reputation, a new reputation, so they can be as clutch as Poulin.
Yeah, I just I think Marner has been spectacular. We're spending a lot of time talking about him right now. Matthews is Matthews, but you're right. Just Okay, so obviously people have appreciated Bunting and what he's done. People have talked about Bunting. He's probably, you know, if sports or if athletes had poll numbers, right, like approval ratings in the city, Bunting's would be a universal 100, you know? He's just like, there's not one person in the city right now who'd be like, Michael Bunting, not a fan, you know, or don't really care for him or don't feel any ways about him. So I don't mean to try to make a straw man here as though people are talking about him in not enough ways, but yeah, there it just got sort of dawned on me as he's scoring all these goals a little bit of, one, I know at least I had the take, and I know a lot of other people had it too, which is when Hyman left, it was like, hey, don't compare Bunting to Hyman because that's not fair. Hyman's so good, right? Hyman's so good, so good, so good. And maybe in a vacuum, Hyman is better, but the job Bunting has done has been insanely good. And it's just crazy how quickly we've just kind of adapted this expectation of what he's supposed to be with this team and how easily he makes this thing look. And yeah, that's part of the byproduct of playing with great players like Marner and Matthews, but man, not everybody can do it, right? Like Nick Ritchie couldn't do it. Nick Ritchie's in the AHL right now and he got a chance with those guys, and Bunting is just flourishing. I wanted to take a moment and kind of look at how great it has been for this player and, you know, just sort of appreciate a little bit of what he's done. So the opposite end,
you know, just one note, JD, and listen, I don't want to take anything away from Bunting up until this point, but you know, we still have to see when the games get heavier and the checking gets tighter. He's not the biggest guy. Hyman had the weight and he had the heaviness to go and create holes. And Bunting's not like that. The holes have to be there for him to find them. He's not creating them. He's not a big, strong guy. And, you know, when I look at Tampa Bay and I look at the heaviness that Goudreau, Coleman, Killorn, Palat, when they play in the playoffs, they're creating holes. Bunting can't do that. So that's going to be the challenge in the tougher games. Against the ones where it's not physical, he's done great. But there's going to be challenges moving forward to be that number one guy on that line. There's going to be times when he's going to be really physically challenged, and we'll see if he's got some bite back, some pushback. You know, instead of taking the hit and drawing a penalty and kind of flopping all over the place and getting up and looking for the referee for the call, there's going to be times and down the stretch and in the playoffs where he's going to have to create holes himself. And that's going to be a big challenge for him moving forward.
Do you think any of the fact that Michael Bunting basically draws the most penalties in the league and he has that little bit of a agitator, Marchand type of mentality, does that make up for some of the lack of physicality in terms of his size and weight? Does that bode anything more, you know, for the Leafs when they get into these tough games? Or is that just like you're poking buttons and you're jumping out of the scrum?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ailish. And yeah, it certainly helps when you can go out there and put your body in certain torque it in certain positions and be able to draw penalties. That's an art. It really is, and he is very good at it and amongst the best so far in this regular season. But it tends to dry up in the latter part of the year and certainly in the playoffs. And it's going to be a lot tougher for him to draw penalties like we have seen during the regular season. And there's going to be times when the official just tells him to get up, and don't stare me down when you go down. And he's just going to have to evolve that position, and he's going to have to pick his spots on when to go down, and he's going to have to pick his spots when he wants to stare down the official for a call, and all of that. And that'll just be, again, the official saying, this time of year, we want you guys to decide the game, not us. So it's going to have to be crystal clear to the official that's a penalty. It's a penalty for the ones that can draw them, and it's a penalty for the ones that don't notoriously have a reputation like Bunting. So there's still a lot of work to be done for Bunting to close out that spot that JD's been mentioning as a number one guy.
We're talking to Nick Kypreos. So yesterday we had Frank Cervelli on. I love when you can combine thoughts of multiple insiders. So let me kind of roll a little bit of what we talked about with him. He mentioned that hey, the Leafs are trying to improve that Hall spot, right? The right shot D next to Muzzin. We all kind of know that. That's the most obvious place of need. But he really did hone in on Klingberg and said, you know, that's a guy that you could end up seeing them target. You think about how that guy plays. You think about his contract, the pending unrestricted free agency of it. I'm just curious, have you heard anything on what the cost of a player like that would be? Because right now he's at the forefront of the market. Obviously, Dallas isn't going to be selling yet, but to get them to move off of a player in a season where they could end up still winning, like I think they beat Colorado the other night. Dallas still very much in the mix, but if you get in the mix for a player of that caliber, what are you looking at going the other way?
Yeah, a first-rounder and a prospect, probably Nick Robertson to go play with his brother. And that's for another rental. And they got burned so badly off the Foligno last year. And Kyle Dubas already spoke to the media about wanting to, if he's going to go down that path, he wants a guy with more term. To watch Klingberg turn around and just be here for a month or 2 months, and if you win the Stanley Cup, of course it's worth it. It's worth it for anybody, but there's no guarantees. And to give up a good chunk of your future on a chance that you're going to get 2 months out of Klingberg, I don't know if Kyle can do that again.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, is Klingberg what you need? He's a power play guy. Well, last time I checked, their power play was on fire. And he's average defender. And he's not the first guy you think about when you want to defend your own zone. So, I don't know. To me, he's not the first guy I think of on what the Leafs need to try to win a Stanley Cup. I don't know about you guys.
So, who is the first guy you think of? Who is someone that we should be searching and trying to see if they can make it fit in the Caps?
Yeah. When I think about a defenseman that the Leafs could use, it's a physical presence. Sherratt's a left-handed shot. Mayfield in the Island. A Josh Manson in Anaheim. A kind of a stay-at-home guy. And the other thing, too, guys, is, like I said, Klingberg's like a power play guy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I got to double up on a guy that kind of looks like Muzzin. Right now, because Muzzin doesn't look like Muzzin. Do I need a backup just in case this guy gets hurt again or he's just not playing well? Like, if Muzzin goes down again, there is no physical presence. Sandin's probably the hardest hitter,
yeah,
or at least tries. But outside of that, if Muzzin goes down, this thing blows up. So, again, Klingberg's not my first choice.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that before, but that's right. Like, that's correct. The second most physical guy on the blue line is definitely Sandin, because Brody, it's all stick, right? And Morgan Rielly is not that. And, yeah, certainly not Timothy Liljegren, but, like, yeah, sometimes the kid
That's a scary thought.
It is, but he could also lay the body sometimes. Like, he has a sneaky thump to his game every once in a while. But, yeah, he's also, 21, 20 years old? And, yeah, I don't really want him to be the most physical guy on the blue line heading into a postseason series. I think that's also fair. So, last thing before you go, it's a big one against the Penguins, right? It feels a little bigger than some of these other games lately, especially it's a measuring stick, Eastern Conference. Is there something in particular that you're looking for tonight?
Two of the top lines in the league right now, Matthews, Marner, Bunting, and Sid Crosby, Gensel, and Rust. And Rust is one of those sneaky, I'm having a great year, I need a new contract at about $6 or $7 million a year. But those two lines going head-to-head tonight, I think is huge. And Sid, say what you will, want to talk about lacrosse goals in the All-Star weekend and, you know, how many likes you get on Instagram. Sid Crosby's still the best, still the number one guy.
Yeah.
I don't even think he does any social media. I'm just going out there. I'm winning. That's it. End of story. I love that guy. Still our best. Can talk about all the talent in the world. And, yes, the kids are amazing. No question about that. but they still got a lot to learn from Sid Crosby on how to win.
I love it. I totally agree. I can't wait for it tonight. I can't wait to just watch Sid. And yeah, if you look at Marner's torrid point streak since he's been back, right, where just everything going on net is going in and he's getting all the assists, he's playing on the power plays, doing all these things. Sid's like a couple points behind him over that stretch, like I think 2 points behind him. And yeah, just like Brian Rust, we're like, hey, how much should Brian Rust get paid? There's the joke with the spit and chiclets guy of thanks Sid for getting contracts and getting money, and Brian Rust is going to be the all-time thanks Sid guy. Like, it's going to be, you know what, it's going to be a lot. He's going to get a big bag of money thanks to old Sidney Crosby, just, you know, feeding families. Sidney Crosby's feeding generations of players that have been with the Penguins. Kipper,
What's scary too, JD, before you go?
Oh, yeah.
Sid Crosby was never the highest paid guy in the NHL. He was never the highest paid guy team.
Yeah, he chose that.
That's just a crime.
Yeah. But he chose it, Kipper. He said it. He's been on the record saying he took less to keep other guys around. He understood the cap parameters and needing to win. And guess what? Sid's still rich. He's doing all right. He's probably not going to go broke anytime soon. Also, what does Sid spend money on, right? Like golf? Okay, pretty sure he gets free clubs. I mean, you get free clubs. I think Sid's probably fine. He's got the Tim Hortons money lying in his pockets. I don't know. He wants to live in Nova Scotia. It's going to be the cheapest. What is he, the king of Nova Scotia? He's just going to have, like, he's going to own Nova Scotia. That's what he wants to do. Him and McKinnon, they just divide it up like kings. Like, what does Crosby even want? He got the cups. He got the winning. He's got everything. Yeah. I love him. Listen, there's no short of respect for the guy. I totally agree with you. You got to win one hockey game right now, and there's only one guy in the conversation. It's not McDavid. It's Crosby. Like, you got to win one game, it's still Sid's league. And I know we keep wanting to pass the baton, but until he actually passes it, we should just shut up about it. He's the best player on the planet. Kipper, love you, buddy. Thanks for doing the show today. This is great.
Have a great day, guys. Thank you.
See you, pal. That's Nick Kiprios, real Kipper and Bourne. And this insider has been brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Yeah, not to be Mr. Old here, but Sid's team is awesome again, and it's because Sid... hockey's such a team sport. I get it. But Sid just makes everyone around him better. And the track record of winning. So just to bring it back to the Poulin and Gretzky conversation, it's tough to do these comparisons because it is way harder to make it to a Stanley Cup than a gold medal. You could argue it's harder to make it to, like, the women's hockey top of the top, just given, like, the depth of field with Canada hockey. Like, it's a complicated argument, right? It's hard to do them apples to apples. But if you go through the most points in Stanley Cup Finals history, it's like it's a lot of original six, right? Obviously, when there's six teams. I mentioned it off the top. Jean Béliveau is right there at the very top, right? And that's because Jean Béliveau played in 64 Stanley Cup Finals games. That's a hard thing to replicate for anyone. You know, no one's ever doing that in a salary cap era where there's 30 teams, right? 32 teams. It's not happening. 64 Stanley Cup Finals games, that's as unbreakable of a record as you're ever going to find moving forward here. Sid is the only modern-day guy that's up there. 20 points in 25 games, right? Like, he's the guy. He's the modern-day guy still. And this isn't shade on McDavid. He's had other challenges with his team, but Sid won early, Sid won late, Sid won always. He's always around. How many times has Sid missed the playoffs? You know, last I checked, it wasn't exactly a cakewalk for this guy to get in. Like, it's not like Sid's had the most dominant Penguins teams the last, what, 5-6 seasons, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do this in sports where we get so excited about the next person. And Connor McDavid is one of the most special talents who's ever lived, right? No question. He's arguably the most talented player in the NHL, but the best player is still Sid. The best player is still Sid. I'm sorry. I don't know what the case is. Fine. Points. Congrats. He's the better guy at getting points. I'll take the win column, and that's still Sid.
You know what I just thought of? I have been in a television commercial with both Marie-Philippe Poulin and Sidney Crosby. The two goats.
You've been in a TV commercial with the two of them?
Yeah. Two separate TV commercials. I think that's, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. You just kind of did the Ross Tucker turning.
I just was thinking about it when we're making the conversation about these two legends and these two people. And I feel
three
like,
legends, you as well.
Well, I was like, wow, I have a real personal connection to both of them. And like, that was just, crazy came to mind. Well, and then you talked about Connor McDavid and my goal. I mean, when I dangled him, it's just like, hey, any chance I get to flex that is pretty cool.
The kingmaker, Ailish Forfar.
Yeah.
That's right.
Ailish, you never dangled Sid, but you dangled McDavid, so.
That's true. But Sid and I go way back, BFFs, start on the silver screen together, same with Marie. So
silver screen.
It's a big night for me, too. I don't know who to cheer for.
Oh, the silver screen, that's so good. Oh, I can't top that. All right, let's take a break. How did we do in Wake and Rake yesterday?
2-1.
We hit.
2-1.
I mean, mine was just BS because of the Eichel, there wasn't even books.
You threw out a random thing at the end of the segment. I got four DMs being like, wait, what was
Ailish's
actual
Everyone was like,
Ailish,
what was your pick? And I was like, I don't know, Eichel to score, whatever.
To be fair,
my pick was Canada.
Yeah.
And so, I put it in my own Wake and Rake, and it hit. So I feel good about that. But technically, it wasn't part of our criteria, so I'll take the loss. No problem. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about it. You did. Here's the thing. The only reason why you take the loss is because you definitely did the whole, I don't care. You really just, you
didn't
play.
And I thought
it'd
be such a great story if Eichel scored. So I'm like, might as well go, get something, crazy.
Yeah,
but he didn't
score. Eichel scored, though, I would have had to give you four different wins for Wake and Rake, because what was Eichel to score? Plus 250 somewhere in there?
Something like that.
No, it was only plus 125. It wasn't long at all.
What? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Well,
I saw some for 50. I saw some that were 190 or 200, but
it at that nice a line, because
that's an insane
price. Had already placed my bets for the night by the time that I saw that come up. So I just played it as the old Ailish Forfar, just $5.
Yeah.
What was it? Plus 140 is what I got it.
Yeah. I love it. Let's come back.
But we couldn't find the line till a minute before puck drop. Anyway, we were all searching, but cool bet at it. So thanks to them.
I want to see. I forgot to bet on the curling today. I'm glad. I just pulled it up.
Oh, Canada tied or what?
Yeah. But let's take a break and let's come back. Make some picks. It's the Wake and Rake. Subscribe to the podcast. Follow on the socials. It's JD. It's Blake. It's Ailish. Our best bets next.
The most opinionated Maple Leaf show out there. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Time to Wake and Rake, baby. I'm ready to get back on a streak. After I lost the streak of 11 in a row, I kind of just mailed it in for two nights. I apologize. I was heartbroken. Yeah. I wanted the Canadian girls in my Wake and Rake. The books wouldn't let me. Uh-huh. I threw in a Jack Eichel pick last minute. Got some angry people in the DMs being like, I can't even find this. And I said, I know. I know. But I'm ready. I'm ready for today. Okay. Let's get the streak going. Let's get back in the win column. You guys killed it last night. You crushed it. Proud of you. What's our percentage now, Blake?
67.5%. We are 81-39.
Sweet. Sweet, sweet money.
81-39 is so stupid. 81-39, just unbelievably dumb. It's basically you put up the Poulin gold medal stats and then our gambling win stats. It's which is better? Which is the GOAT? Ailish.
That reminds me, by the way, last night I did another just $5 Ailish on the exact score of the game to be 3-2 Canada in regulation.
Oh,
plus
wow.
1,900. Yeah, plus nice. 1,900.
Where were we in your discussions on that?
I did it last minute. I was just like, you know what? I want, because we talked yesterday and you guys convinced me that of the, hey, you don't have to gamble on every game. And I was sitting there and I was like, no, I do.
I did that for 4-2 during the game.
I was having a really strong NBA night. So I was just feeling myself a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did the same thing where I live bet the under 5.5 because it was at plus money in the first period, which was, well, It was nice until I thought that face-off was going to go into the American net off the draw. I was like, I don't need – once it went that way down the ice, I was happy to have it go wide, let's just say. I didn't need the other goal. I was good. I was fine. I was fine.
You were like, hit the post
that,
again. Yeah, I'm ready for
that face-off went down the ice, and I went, no way. No way that's the way I'm going to lose this bet. It was one, though, where I will admit I was very, very happy to lose it had Canada just won 100-0.
You texted me being like, I just want them to win 10-0. I'm like, I'm in for that.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah, I said 10-0. So it was like I was going up against my bet. So, yes, it is the wake and rake. It is our best bets for the day. First off, let's start with – oh, sorry, Blake, you got something?
Well, I just want to – just to touch off last night that you had the Raptors. The Raptors won. Very good win. I had the Bulls -5.5. It was actually the second time in 3 days I had the Bulls -5.5 exactly, which was weird. Bulls cover, and I offered some hesitation heading into that game last night about betting the Bulls twice in short order, especially with how banged up they are. DeMar DeRozan set an NBA record last night with his seventh consecutive game of 35 points or more at 50% shooting or better. So no one has ever done that. When you're passing Wilt Chamberlain on a field goal percentage and scoring volume record, it's pretty incredible. I took – this was going to be my something to chew on earlier if we hadn't stuck with the hockey stuff. It's not even really something to chew on. It's just a crazy stat that DeMar has done that, 35 points or more at 50% or better, 14 times on the season. The record in the three-point era is 24 by – Steph did it in 2015-2016. 20 plus has only been done three times in the modern era. DeMar's at 14 at the All-Star break and has seven in a row. I don't know, man. I don't know if we've seen a like 2-3 week stretch of scoring this good in the NBA in years. Like Giannis had that 50 on 21 shots game the other night, but seven games in a row of 35 plus at just lethal efficiency, dragging your team to wins when you're missing like four or five rotation players. I just wanted to take a moment of appreciation for DeMar. That's all. Great GQ profile on him.
Yes, I was going to say, I love how much it seems like he's starting to resonate with other people and other fan bases because, you know, we had our love for DeMar here, and I think it's starting to grow nationwide or North America wide. So it's so great to see that. Go DeMar.
Yeah, the Tyler Tynes piece at GQ was awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, JD, unless you have anything else on Raps, we can pivot to tonight. We got a little Leaf lines. We got 10 NHL games. The last five NBA games before the All-Star break. You are muted, I believe, JD. I saw you trying to respond to me there.
Leafs. Let's start with Leafs lines. I hate the Leafs tonight in terms of a gambling standpoint.
-150 against the Penguins.
Stupid. Yeah. To me, this is the Team Canada line all over again where you go, make the case they're the better team. Yeah, so, you can make the case that they're the betting favorite, but this is obviously a case where Vegas is telling you, like, we won't let you bet the Leafs. If you're doing anything tonight from a value standpoint, it's obviously Pittsburgh in regulation at +210. Like, I don't know how you could possibly look that the other way and say, think about how dominant Pittsburgh has been against the Leafs, too. This is one of the teams that sort of owns Toronto. So I'm not playing it because you know me. I don't like to bet on the home teams unless it's a lockety lock, 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 like last night with the Raptors where I'm 2-0 on picking the Raptors. But I think it's an absolute dumbo bet to bet the Leafs tonight based on the value. I think you're a sucker if you bet it. And so to me, it is a complete stay away from all aspects of it, too, by the way. I don't like the totals. I don't like the anythings other than Pittsburgh +210 in regulation. But again, that's not for me.
So you guys know I like to do this to kind of reframe what odds are suggesting just in case someone doesn't really understand, you know, what a -150 is contextually. The Penguins and Leafs are basically even in the standings. The Leafs are a fraction of a percentage point higher in terms of points percentage. So knowing that and knowing that, yeah, they're at home, but we're not back to full crowds. It's Pittsburgh. It's Sidney Crosby playing in Toronto, too. Ailish, what would you say, like, if you had to give me a percentage of what do you think the chances are the Leafs win tonight, what would it be?
60.
Oh.
Ooh. No. Okay, it's close to being a coin flip, but I will say that, okay, there's a little bit for Toronto. It'll be the first game back with fans. I know it's only 50% capacity, but does that sure. give them a little bit of a boost? I think so. You know, look at how hot Marner has been. You know, you still have Matthews on a tear. I wouldn't say that it's a 50-50 game. I would give Toronto just that little bit of an upper edge because of those reasons. But, you know, it could easily blow up in my face. Like, I think it's just ridiculous that this line is this big, because Pittsburgh is a great team and Sidney Crosby in Toronto is a big X factor. But yeah, I'll still stick with 60.
I didn't ask to put you on the spot, like, in terms of, like, being right or anything like that. It just, for context, like, that line does suggest 60%. You know, analytically, you're probably not getting past 57, maybe 58% in a game like this between two teams this good. And even that is, like, you know, some of that is recent performance. Some of that is, you know, what's your confidence level in Tristan Jarry keeping up a 925 save percentage as he plays against elite teams. He's been awesome. But so, yeah, it's just a little long. That's all.
I don't care if the Leafs win tonight. It's absolutely not 60%. Sorry, Ailish. And sorry, the Lions. Sure. Sorry, bookmakers. Do you know how many points Sidney Crosby has against the Leafs in 46
Infinity.
Games played? 63 points in 46 games against the Leafs. He dominates them. He dominates them. Sid owns the Leafs. He's got an ownership stake in this franchise. There's absolutely no way. You're out of your goddamn mind if you bet this at this number, 60%. I'm sorry. If you parlay piece this, you're a sucker. So anyways, I hope the Leafs win. I think they match up. I think that they're the better team, but you're a sucker. You're an absolute sucker if you bet this line in any way for the Leafs.
I just brought up some of Sid's splits, and not only do you have 63 points in 46 games against the Leafs, he's shooting 20% for his career against Toronto.
Yeah. Again.
Well, then maybe you're betting Sidney Crosby goal tonight. I don't see any player lines up, but
do a little sprinkle on the kid.
Yeah, I don't see the player line, sadly.
I think two things can be true. The Leafs can be buzzing right now, but there's no way that given the state of their goaltending, which right now you would consider it to be shaky at best, their blue line, which you would consider to be shaky at best. You know what Sid does pretty well? Get the puck down low and cycle it. That's sort of how he gets a lot of points. And guess what? Who sucks at that? Stopping that. The Toronto Maple Leafs. So, yeah, Leafs have firepower. Leafs have the special teams right now clicking in a way that is truly, truly incredible. This is just a value conversation right now. And from a value standpoint, it just ain't there. Sorry, there's no case.
Yeah, the special teams element, I didn't get to use this the other day, but in addition to being the best power play in the league and the second best of all time, they're the only team left in the NHL that hasn't allowed a shorthanded goal also, and they're third in the league in shorthanded goals scored in addition to being a top 10 penalty kill. This is maybe the best special teams hockey team of all time, at least in recent memory. So we don't like the Leafs value, though. What do we like tonight, Ailish?
Leafs related?
No, in general, if you want to go first.
Sure. A couple short lines in the NHL. I'm going to not touch the NBA because, as we said, it's the night before the NBA All-Star break. I don't know. Unless you're going to start betting underdogs like we did yesterday. We had somebody tweet in and being like, well, it was a kind of a crazy night last night. You could have made some money on some underdogs. I don't like it because you don't really know what you're going to get out of tonight in the NBA. So I'm probably going to look NHL-wise. What stuck out to me was Capitals at Flyers. Flyers are crazy, crazy bad. I like Washington in regulation over the Flyers. It's -115 versus Washington just money line, which is -165. That one to me, I think, is not a lock, but a very confident bet. And other than that, there's like, you know, there's some toss-ups. Edmonton playing Anaheim. Edmonton's been pretty good, but Anaheim is a bit of a sneaky good team as well. I would still probably go Edmonton in that one. The Bruins versus the Islanders is there's no favorite right now. They're both -110. I don't know. I think the Bruins have some players out, Marchand and Bergeron still, but I don't think the Islanders are as great as it looks in the line. But if I'm going to lock in my wake and rake, I think I'm going to go Capitals in regulation, -115. Give a little bit extra juice there for the betting lines. I'm ready to get back on my streak. So I like that one as my choice.
Get back on the winning side.
Just steal a line from my guy Charlie Kelly, the person who said that last night was a good spot to bet underdogs, that boy was me. I was that little boy. I loved the NBA last night. I'm actually going to stick with it. I think it's a great spot to keep betting against the Sixers. I did it with the Celtics. I'm going to keep it rolling with the Bucks. I know everybody's looking forward to the All-Star break, but I really do think that some teams have that different. And Philly is the team leaders of get me to the break. Joel Embiid is exhausted. He's had to carry this team on his back for the entire season. He's been waiting for help, and he's finally gotten it. But while he waits, he's got less help than he's ever had, right? Seth Curry was unbelievably important to this team, truly. And guess who else was actually important? Drummond, because he ate minutes when Embiid needed to rest. The only path to covering this game is if Joel Embiid has a 40-plus point performance and the Bucks don't play particularly well. I know the Bucks have had a couple of stinkers here and there, but to me, this is just sort of, they're a very good home team. The Eastern Conference is tough. There's going to be a dogfight for the top. And if I'm the Milwaukee Bucks, I'm not sleeping on this opportunity to beat the Sixers team down. And so I think this is going to be an ass-whooping tonight. I think that we're not looking at Celtics-Sixers, no sweat. But yeah, I'm going to lay the 6.5 points, and I'm going to take the Milwaukee Bucks.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't mind it. The Philly component of like, hey, we're focusing on. I mean, we teed this up at the Celtics game the other day.
Yeah,
it's like,
we're post All-Star break.
Here's James Harden. Talk to us after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And then the Bucks were for a little bit there one of the hottest teams in basketball, and they've really cooled off. They lost to Phoenix. They got punch in the face by Phoenix. They lost to that really bad Portland team. They came back and they beat Indiana the other night, but it wasn't a convincing one. So I could see them wanting to head into the break with a little bit more of a convincing W. The things to have on your radar there, in addition to Brooke Lopez and George Hill still being out, Pat Connaughton just had surgery on his hand and is out for a while, and Grayson Allen isn't expected to play tonight. But you're going against a team that just traded multiple rotation players and hasn't added anyone to the rotation yet. As big a fan as I am of B-Ball Paul, I don't know that you need 30 minutes of B-Ball Paul to try to get through a game like this. So don't mind that one. Seven's
well, I also
a bit
just
long,
think too, Blake. It is a bit long. I really like this line closer to 4.5, 5.5. Like even those just extra couple of points, it feels a little inflated to me, to be honest. But I would be looking at this. If I'm Joel Embiid, I'm tired. I want a break, and I'm ready to team up with Harden. And if I'm the Sixers, this does feel like potentially a game where you're saying, are we really going to burn Embiid? Are we going to play him 40 minutes against the Bucks tonight when we have the All-Star break right here? And we have, I just think that, like I said, they're a second-half team. The Sixers know what the goal is now, and that's getting Harden and Embiid clicking together. And while they're not together, this stuff's sort of irrelevant. I'm sorry. I just can't imagine that these guys are locking into this game tonight going, boy, let's make a statement against the Bucks with the short bench and with Embiid having to shoulder a big load. I don't understand the case mentally for how they could be engaged in this one. I just don't. I don't see
it. I mean, the case is that the Bucks are also a little sleepy, and some of the fringe Sixers guys who aren't going to play again after the All-Star break. Like, but then you're talking about like, oh, I'm fading or I'm betting the 76ers because of a guy named literally Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
I'm not putting money behind a literal Charlie Brown as much as I do think he's a, you know how it is with me. Everyone's a fun player. I'm pivoting away from NBA. The one line I would say that I do like is Miami -5 at Charlotte. Charlotte's been really bad lately, 2-7 against the spread in their last 9. No Gordon Hayward, no Martin, no McDaniels. But there are too many questionable tags on the Miami side to have
no
the confidence.
No Tyler Hero too, right?
No Tyler Hero, no Dwayne Dedman, no Morris. Yeah. And then Jimmy Butler's also questionable. And if there's ever a guy who starts his All-Star break early, we know it's Kyle Lowry. We've seen those games before. So that one is just a little too risky for me to lock in as a wake and rake. I'm going to hockey. I take the New York Rangers in regulation against the Detroit Red Wings. Detroit, after that okay start, is 6-7-3, so effectively 6-10 in their last 16. I show this line, the money line, at -192, which I'm taking regulation because -192 just feels too cheaty. But even at -192, I show it as one of the best values on the board tonight. This projects closer to a 225 kind of game. Rangers are good. They're really solid.
Did you see the shootout game the other night?
Against the Bruins?
Oh, my God. That might have been... We never talked about it. One of the most iconic shootouts that I've seen in a long time. It was amazing.
It was extremely long. What was it? 18 shots by the end?
Something like that.
Yeah. Let's hope it's not that big a sweat tonight because I'm taking them in regulation. But that's what I'm going with. New York Rangers in regulation. You've got Capitals in regulation, Ailish. So we're hoping for no OT night. And then, JD, you got the Bucks -7.
Yeah, I do. I do like the money line parlay of Capitals.
Blues in regulation, too?
Yeah, Blues.
They screwed it for you last time with Binnington letting in like 6 goals.
That's the thing. I'll never forget that I watched the Leafs play the Devils 2 straight games, and the Devils looked like the worst team I've ever seen play hockey. And then I bet against the Devils again, and the same thing happened where they were the worst team in hockey, and then Jordan Binnington. I'll stand by this till the day I die. Bieber would score on Binnington. Binnington sucks. And Bieber is good enough to score on him 1 out of 10 times. And he's probably got such a crap shot that Binnington hasn't seen. One trickles in on Jordan Binnington. He's a choker. Jordan Binnington would have it. He'd be like, and then one's getting by. That was a one-off, that Stanley Cup playoff run. He'll always have it. He'll always be a champion. He'll always have that. But I'll always believe Bieber gets one. Just saying. Bieber absolutely gets one. So to lock it in, we have the Washington Capitals in regulation. We have the New York Rangers in regulation, and we have the Milwaukee Bucks, Milwaukee, -6.5. The Leafs are a stay away for us, and we will go into this. Did somebody die in Anaheim? Like, it's +195 to beat the Oilers. I thought that was a little bit of a strange line just from an eye, like a first look standpoint. But either way, I just think...
That's what I meant. Like, the Anaheim's, like, pretty decent. Like, I thought that one was a weird line, too, but...
Yeah, I just that might be just $5. Is an Anaheim in regulation bet? Just saying, might do that. Yeah.
They have dropped 3 in a row, but I don't really. And that's the second night of a back to back after getting beat up by Calgary last night. But yeah, that's that seems long.
Seems a little long. Just gonna say +195 just really did stick out. Let's take a break. Let's come back, and let's do a women's hockey power hour to close this show.
Woo!
Blake and I will go start our naps. Ailish Forfar will take it away again and discuss last night's thrilling victory.